What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, on the mend from getting punched in the face with COVID. I'm so sorry we couldn't do an episode last week, but I was in no shape to be talking into a microphone or thinking straight or mostly being awake at all. But I'm doing a lot better. I'm back. I'm so excited to be talking with Lotus again. Lotus, welcome back to the show.
I'm back as well. I couldn't manage to scramble anything together last minute. I gave it a shot, but it was just like, between getting out of work late myself, and I was like, ah, crap, I don't want to do like a really lame, just like cobbled together thing. So I was like, yeah, you know what, worries. We'll just wait this time. Right. Otherwise, I would have tried to lend a hand and fill in for an episode. But yeah, it didn't happen. So it seemed like it was better to not do one, catch up this week instead of do like a really lame one.
Yes. And thank you for the well wishes from everybody who wrote me to say get better. And also Outlander Frog says periite attacks. Yeah, that's probably what it was. Man, I need to stay away from that one. I mean, all the Daedric Princes are a little shady, but gross. Anyway, speaking of Daedra, we're continuing our Daedric creatures series. We're going through four more different types of Daedric creatures, or maybe not. The fourth one today,
one of them's going to be interesting,
is kind of is debatable, but it shows up in the lists on the wiki, and there's some
highly sus.
There's some Daedric connections, but we're going to get into that a little bit. And I just want to remind people as we go through this that this is just kind of a highlighting series. This is very high overview of each of these. Two of these are fairly light, and two of these are significantly deeper and definitely need their own episodes in the future. So if we don't cover something on this episode, don't worry. You don't need to write us and say, well, you didn't say this, or like sometimes we get those. Don't worry. We'll get back around to it at some point, and we'll go a little bit deeper on these. This is just kind of an overview right now. So let's kick this off. Lotus, the first one on our list today is the doppelganger. And
yeah,
there's not a ton of information about doppelgangers. This is what it says in the UESP, which we always recommend because they're friends of the show and all of that. According to the UESP wiki, it says doppelgangers are Daedric spirits. That's interesting. Spirits that assume the guise of their fallen victims. They are believed to portend certain death. They were used to torture Sai Sahan in the Halls of Torment. This is during the events of ESO, like the really early storylines for ESO. Following the restoration in the late Third Era, rumors circulated that the three legitimate sons of Emperor Uriel Septim VII were actually doppelgangers placed in the household during the Imperial Simulacrum. Simulacrum. Words are hard.
I love that word. It's super bizarre. So, yeah, simulacrum.
Yes.
There's a lot of simulacrums in the
Right. So doppelgangers are cool because they're kind of like, there's Dopplers in The Witcher, characters right. or spirits that take on false identities and present themselves as somebody else. They're very common in fantasy and mythology and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But we don't get much else other than this. They're spirits. They kill their victims and then take their victims' appearance, basically.
Right.
So in that way, they're almost like evil spirits that like to take the place of other creatures rather than actual Daedric biological creatures. Like many of the right. other things we've talked about are actual kinds. They're kind of like animals that just exist on a different plane in a different world with different rules of how the biology works and all of that. But these appear to be more like just evil spirits.
Yeah. And it's weird because like you wouldn't consider ghosts to be like.
Yeah, ghosts are not Daedra. You know what I mean? They're ghosts.
Right. They're ghosts.
Right. They're so souls like, that are like stuck in one place, or they're echoes of the past sometimes, but they're not Daedric creatures.
Right. But it's just, yeah, this is this weird, like, kind of in between, I guess, type of thing. I don't know. It's definitely a little stranger than some of the more cut and dry ones. This episode's going to have a couple of these weird ones. But yeah, honestly, it seems like this just isn't super fleshed out in the series yet. And it's more of just like, yep, this is just like a weird mimic thing.
Yeah, we don't even get like a Daedric Prince that these are associated with. It seems... Yep. Nefarious, so you would imagine one of the ones that is just blatantly more evil was probably behind this, but it also seems kind of like somebody who likes to play games with people, but we don't see these in like Sheogorath's realm, right? Like so it's not,
well, at least not that we know of.
Not that we know of, that we have seen yet, right?
Again, because since they're mimicking another thing, theoretically, you might not realize that the thing you're talking to is a mimic.
Oh, that's true. Like, what if they are mimicking other Daedra, or like not just mortals? Or like,
who knows? So it's kind of like, it's a strange in-between thing that. Maybe it isn't fleshed out, but you could have experienced it a bunch in the series, and they just really haven't talked about it too much, other than the couple of some very specific events. Or maybe it's just a thing that they don't really use that much in the series yet, and it's just kind of a MacGuffin to be like, oh, well, we need some type of fill-in. And they just haven't really added too much to it yet.
Right, right. Toxic is asking, do they show up in ESO? Yeah, during the Sais Sahan.
Yeah,
part of the main storyline where he's being like tortured, and some of these mimics, or not mimics, doppelgangers show up, and he thinks they're who they are, but they're not.
Right. It's like a vision of Lyris or something like that, which is another of the companions. Like it could be like one of those. But then you also have the situation where we get super weird and dicey on this. It's like, okay, well, is it? You know, is it a hallucination? Is it an actual doppelganger? Is it like it's something? It's so, you know, it's since it's all weird metaphysical stuff in the situation, these ones kind of fit in this strange category almost in and of themselves of just kind of floating around and being there when it's convenient.
Convenient storyline type thing.
Yes.
This would be really cool to see more of these in the next main Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah. In there's ways a lot they get a little could out do more. With this.
Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, it's almost like the mimic thing that's in both fantasy and sci-fi and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, okay, so it's like another version of that without calling it a mimic almost.
Right. This concept comes up in a lot of places.
Sure.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Our second one for tonight, Dromora. This is a big topic. Dromora, we've talked about them many different times on the podcast. They show up as characters in the games, they have names, they are individuals, they are arguably one of the most intelligent types of Daedra. In the realm of in Oblivion realms, they consider themselves the same way that mortals do, as being like the top species, and everything else is kind of animals beneath them.
Yeah. They're almost like the Daedric equivalent of generic human person.
Right, right. Or like intelligent devils.
Yeah, exactly. Or myrrh as well. It's just like the opposite version of the bipedal version of a mortal. It's like, okay, well, here's the demon version of these things. But like, as instead of, like you said, them being just like demon things, they're articulate. They have their own like societal structure. There's a lot to these other than just, hey, this is the evil version. It's almost like a, you know, I don't know how you put it, like, you know, you've got the light side of things, and then they're just like the dark side of things, where it's just like, yeah, no, a lot of it's just the inverted of a lot of what we have.
Right, right. The negative, like, dark version of intelligent races.
Right.
You also get a really cool insight into the Dromora in the books, and we bring up the books on occasion.
Yes.
Because the main characters end up on this ship with a whole society of Dremora and all their different levels and tiers and the way that their society works and the way there's always infighting and they're always distrustful of each other. And what's so enlightening about that is how much they are still individual persons. They're individual people who live in a world, in a society that just functions very differently, but they're still individuals. They still like team up with each other or infight against each other. They still have their own personal wants and things that they're comfortable with, things they're good at, things they're not good at, knowledge they have, others don't have. It's actually very, very, very diverse. And we get a little bit of that when we get to see them in ESO, especially with some of the more recent expansions. But there's always, I find them very interesting because they really are people. They're just Daedric people with a very different kind of society. So, all right, let's get into what the UESP says here. It says, Dremora, also known as the Kyn, K-Y-N, are a warlike Daedric race primarily associated with the Daedric Prince of Destruction, Mehrunes Dagon. They are often found in the service of other Daedra lords, such as Molag Bal. They are commonly encountered throughout the Plains of Oblivion, and Daedra are known to be highly intelligent beings and make capable warriors and mages. The Dremora refer to their race as the Kyn, which means the people, with the adjective form being Kynaz, so of the Kyn is what that means. The name Dremora is an arena term, a nickname used by the Kyn when trafficking with mortals, such as in the context of the Dremora clan. Different clans make use of such terms in place of their clan's true tribunimic to avoid tribunimic. That's a really cool word, to avoid it being used as a weapon against them because of the whole power of names thing. It goes on. There's more interesting stuff in here. Dremora consider themselves to be above the other Daedra. And we've talked about them being above other Daedra and how they see themselves that way, who are seen as according to them, as unthinkable animals. The primary exception being the Daedric princes, which, of course, are at the top of that food chain. They also show a mutual distaste for mortal races. You can hear that all throughout the series. They often don't like mortals, even when they're bound to serve them through magical means. Despite this, Dremora are a surprisingly frequent sight in certain parts of Tamriel, roaming Daedric ruins and the lairs of conjurers and Daedra worshippers. They're also summoned to Tamriel through spells and rituals for durations of time that range from brief to indefinite. In this regard, they are often employed by Tamrielic organizations such as the Tribunal Temple to guard their shrines and by Mages Guild to deliver messages to non-guild members. So they're used all the time against their will, which is really dark if you think about it. Throughout the years, other professions that Dremora have pursued outside of being warriors for their clans include, and the list is pretty long here, being mercenaries, torturers, taskmasters, pirates, butlers, and merchants, both in Oblivion and upon Nirn. They also find Daedrats cute, which we mentioned on the episode where we were talking about the Daedrats. There's a whole lot more we can go into about the Dremora and their clans and the way they look. But for the most part, if you've played these games and seen anything running around that looks kind of like a demonic person, chances are that's a Dremora. It may be a specific type of Dremora, a certain class or clan. But for the most part, that's who they are.
Other than, I don't know, like, their society and everything like that, I love specifically that the game, well, games slash we had mentioned the books a minute ago, have been trying to flesh out that, like we had mentioned, there's more to them than just evil demon things, which Diablo, for example. Yeah, okay, you have horrible minions, you need to just kill them, they're bad type of deal. And I know, get on the topic a lot, ESO is rather divisive on whether people want to include it in the main series and stuff, but, you know, we reiterate how much it adds to the series. The Deadlands expansion, to me personally, was one of my, like, all-time favorite things because it showed so much of the society and how they... There's a lot more similarities to things, but they're just like a more brutal culture. But it's almost not even necessarily that it's always different in quite so many ways. So, like, I really like that the series is, I don't know, humanizing the weird creatures that when the series started were just, this is a demon, make the demon not
like
be
the
alive.
Orcs. The orcs are bad, but now they're characters and they're a race that you can understand.
They have a backstory, stuff like that.
Right.
And these have always kind of been there. Battlespire as well. They're very articulate in Battlespire when you deal with Dremora. But just as a whole, it's one of the things that I do really like the mystery that the series has overall. However, this is one of the few things that I actually kind of like them demystifying some of it, where it's just like filling it out. I feel like it's adding to it. Whereas if they explained, oh, here's the Dwemer and this is why they're the Dwemer.
Yeah, you're going too far. Let's leave that as a mystery.
But this one, I specifically just kind of felt like I feel it adds to the series and fleshing these things out, because they're weirdly unsettling. The fact that they, like I said, oftentimes the like generals and stuff like that, they're pretty articulate. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah. Some of them are highly intelligent and and they consider themselves higher than mortals, but mortals also consider themselves better than Daedra. Like, it's almost more of an understanding between, or a misunderstanding between these two races than it is any actual quantifiable difference in intelligence or ability. The main difference is that Dremora are Daedra, so they live kind of indefinitely, and if they die, they start over, they're reborn, and they grow back and then find their way back through society again.
Right. And it's just it's one of those things where it's just like I really like the audio overlay. This is super nitpicky is often done in a bad way, but this is super like, I don't know,
specific.
Very specific thing. I love the audio overlay, I guess, that they use when you talk to a lot of the Dremora and ESO. It's very strange. I don't really know what they do to it to make it a thing, but it makes them have a very unique voice.
Like the vocal effect they put
on. Yeah, the vocal effects to it. But then, like by comparison, it is kind of funny just because, like I had mentioned, Battlespire, they literally sound like British aristocrats. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't match whatsoever. So I do like that direction they're going in, but they kind of kept the sophistication to the way they speak, which I think is kind of cool, because oftentimes when you think of demons, you're not thinking of sophistication. So it makes them a little more unique than in a lot of other fantasy.
Right. Yeah. Some are very violent. They have very dark culture. They're constantly trying to one up each other because it's a whole dominance is power thing.
It's very cutthroat.
Kind of going
like
on
their society.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they can't be nuanced and intelligent and very careful. Some of them are, they all have very different personalities. Some of them just want to jump in and start lopping off heads. Others want to be a little bit more meticulous about the way they want to go about things. And we find out as we meet different Dremora in the games as actual characters.
Right. And that's just it. It's, I don't know. I find Dremora to be a fascinating thing since I originally stumbled into them, because at first look, they're like, oh, demon thing, kill it. And it's just like, it's kind of cool that the series has a lot more to it than just demon thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have to come back and talk a little bit more in depth about different physicalities and their society and the different kinds of clans and the difference between them and the Zivali, who are very similar, but yet different enough that there's some friction between the two groups.
Again, the way they're set up is very interesting, because it mimics so much of just like an alternate version of exactly what we play as in the series. Right.
Yeah, lots of different races, lots of different mortal races, different Daedric races, and different ways they see each other, compare to each other, and all that.
Right.
All right. Well, we got to go take a quick break and thank our patrons. We'll be back, because we've got two more different Daedras, including some weird ones, to talk about. Maybe they aren't even Daedra. We'll find out when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, it's been a few weeks, so we got to play catch up on our new patrons. So welcome to Jake, just simply Jake, no last name, Nick G, Nick's D Lore Seeker, Crimson Dagger, nice. 97, Jeremiah Marvine, and Quest for Power Podcast. I see what you did there, Quest for Power. You're sneaking in your name of your show onto the show.
That's clever.
I'm on to you. Very clever, but thank you for the support.
Clever branding. Thank you.
Clever branding. And go check out that podcast. They're sponsoring the show, so you might as well.
Sponsoring the show? Check them out. Maybe they're great people.
Check them out. Also, we got a shout out.
I'm going to listen. I'm always looking for new shows.
Yeah, Lotus will check you out. Go check out that stuff. And also, big thanks to our Daedric Princes, who get shout outs every week, Jacob K, Kira C, and Sheo Goreth's Sweet Roll. And big shout out to all 135 of our current patrons. The number just keeps creeping up.
Eek.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, everybody, for your support. Also, by the way, if you want to go join the ranks and also join us on the patron chat, which is happening in a week from when we're currently recording this, which is the last day of the month. It's usually the last Thursday, which also happens to be the very last day of the month. Thursday, the 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then you can sign up as a tier four or higher patron before that, and you can still join us for the patron chat. Also, if you are joining us for the patron chat, go ahead and chime in on the Discord and let us know what things you might want to discuss, and we'll all vote on things and figure that out. So patreon.com/ElderScrollsLorecast for that stuff. Also, because we got two new reviews on Apple Podcasts, five-star reviews get read out, so we got to read out these new reviews. This one comes from Florine512 from Australia, who writes, "Great show. I started listening a few weeks ago. I have not been able to stop. I haven't been able to watch the show since I'm from Australia, but plan to one day. Thanks for all you do. Love the content." Well, thank you so much. And by the way, if you, I know you're saying you can't watch the live show, but if you want to see our beautiful faces, we're also up on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, so you can always tune in there as well. Also, one, this other one came from another Australian with the name Stumpy Ate an Elf.
Because the elf was good, or because the elf was like mouthing off?
I don't know. Maybe this was like an elf on the shelf and Stumpy's a dog and got a hold of the elf.
Oh, so it's no longer on a shelf.
Maybe. And Stumpy's a good name for a dog.
Stumpy is a good, Stumpy's actually a pretty accurate name for my dog. That is Boots true. Would also do, Boots definitely has her little boots, but she's also very Stumpy.
That's true.
What kind of dog is your, is
we're going real deep into this in a direction that's probably not even
Stumpy
accurate.
Stumpy lore.
Yeah. But the Stumpy Ate an Elf wrote, "Is good ear food, 5 stars. This podcast satisfies my ear, mouths, and brain stomach. Good listen. Recommend."
Wait, why do I feel like I don't remember this name, but I swear I remember this review?
Or maybe this was a reference to a joke. Like we've done so many episodes.
I was going
to
say, I think we said something like that. Deja vu.
Yeah.
Or somebody else has a brain stomach.
I think this might have been something might have been an inside joke during one of the episodes.
Because I don't remember this name. This name, I feel like, would have stuck out equally to the degree of the review.
Yes, I agree. So. Sometimes people make comments on the Discord and they're like, "Hey, robots, this thing." And I'm like,
I know. I always have to ask people for context.
Yeah.
And I understand from a listener standpoint of being a podcast listener.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I need to reference point like, okay, I'm not making a note. Like I'm making a note of this in my phone to ask them while I'm listening. Mm-hmm. They probably have no context for this.
Right. Or had time or recorded it like 2 years ago.
Oh, when they're really out of date, then
Like we get like, comments about old episodes, and it'll be like somebody will comment on something 2 or 3 years ago, which means if these episodes average roughly an hour, that was 100 hours of conversation ago, 3 years in the past, and I'm now trying to remember, like, did I say something about that? Plus, I do many different shows. I've got like six other shows going currently, so it's like, I don't remember.
Right. So yeah, just as context, it's usually why we don't remember, because again, sometimes I'm like, wait, what was that in relation to? Like, what the hell was I talking about at the time?
Yeah. The other thing that can happen is that sometimes people update their reviews and then it pushes it back onto the top of the list.
Oh, that's weird.
But it doesn't tell me it was updated. So
I don't think I've ever noticed that.
We would have noticed. Well, at least it does on the aggregator that I use. But we probably would have recognized Stumpy 8 and Elf as the name. But anyway,
I feel like I don't. Yeah, I feel like I don't remember that name. And I'm trying to think. I have the most ghetto way of looking at reviews for Tales of Tamriel as well, where I'm like, I literally open my own phone and I'm like, aggregator. Just I do this. Ark looks at the ones from out of country, like out of US. And we're like, OK, there they are. That's fine.
It's good enough. Good enough.
Nothing professional on that.
Yeah. Maybe we should summon a Dremora to do it for us.
Ooh.
They can live at your house. All right. Thank you for all of your support. Yeah. And this is what we do when we get reviews. Thanks for doing it, everybody. Let's move on with the rest of the show. Lotus is going to summon a Dremora. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So how'd that Dremora summoning go? And also, are they stinky? I don't imagine they wear deodorant.
I don't know, but I won't be accepting a gift from one because that will break their summon.
Ooh.
And I won't have control over them. So just remember, don't ever take a gift.
Yeah, it's playing with fire there. Here you go, master.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Like kind of like Dobby the house elf, isn't that? No, you have to give him a gift. That's the opposite.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's Harry Potter stuff. But that's too nerdy for you.
I know. I wish I had the book handy. There's the thing where the kid summons a Dremora because, I don't know, he wants to get his mom a shirt or something like that for her birthday. And the Dremora hands him a black soul stone and then tears the kid's heart out and puts him in the soul stone or the soul gem. Sorry. Wow. Too much Diablo. Soul gem.
Yes.
And and he was under his control up until he accepted the soul gem, which he then murdered him for and put him in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't want to accept those gifts. It breaks the link. I'm not entirely sure that it was literally a shirt for the birthday. I don't remember what he wanted to get his mom for a gift. I don't think he had a sew for some reason. That's why I think it's like a shirt or something lame.
It could have been something like that. I mean, it sounds like one of those stories from one of the games.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're back and we've got two more types of Daedra maybe to talk about. The first one is a Dremnaken. Dremnaken? Dremnaken. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Dremnaken.
Dremnaken?
I don't think I've ever said that aloud.
Yeah, me either. These are quadrupled bestial Daedra. They somewhat resemble Welwa. Think of them as like evil Welwa. With red scales, pointed ears, two sets of front-facing eyes, sharp fangs, and a long tail. They are native to the Deadlands and Apocrypha, and are rarely seen on Tamriel. Dremnaken are intelligent hunters capable of extreme cruelty. They gore their prey and have been known to use magic to steal their victim's life spirit. Wonderful. Great news. Despite their bestial appearance, Dremnaken are capable of speech. They can even talk. They are known to hunt in packs. Some are armored for battle. Some known as wraith steeds are ridden as fearsome war mounts. Dremnaken runts are diminutive in size, but just as fierce as their larger packmates. Yeah, I mean, these are, think of like low crawly lizards. If you know what the Wellwoods look like, they're kind of like them. Crawly lizard guys, multiple eyes, sharp teeth, pointy snout, pointy ears, spikes coming off the back of the neck, claws.
They seem like they would be very uncomfortable to ride as a mount.
Also, if they stop very quickly and you fall forward, you would just
impale yourself. That's a bad time.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that they can talk. Chat says the name sounds like a Daedra version of Heineken. It's also a drink. Dremniken.
Perfect. They're shockingly low in alcohol. Very low ABV in Dremniken.
Yeah. I bet they don't taste very good.
I can't remember any of them ever speaking.
Yeah. Okay. So here, let's dig into that a little bit.
Maybe I'm just not remembering.
This comes from Kazasha's dialogue in ESO. She's an orc and member of Calmer Clan who can be found outside of the Ardent Hope in the Deadlands. She's accompanied by the bear spirit of her clan. So this is part of the Deadlands.
Oh, I remember this quest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know that we ever see or hear them talk, but it's referred to that they can.
Well, maybe that's because I always thought they were referring to communicating with their little bear spirit that you're hanging out with.
Or maybe, which,
by the way, that little bear spirit is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe they're communicating in a way that only Daedra can communicate with each other, and it's not actual speech. Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it's referring to then.
Like a master communicating with his horse, you know, like
sure.
Like you learn to communicate with your horse, even though your horse doesn't actually talk to you unless it's Mr. Ed, which is a TV show from a long time ago.
That is such a deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Did you know they used peanut butter to get the horse to move its lips to make it look like it was talking?
Okay, that is beyond a deep cut at this point. Yeah.
So that's them, Dremniken. The last one that we have to go over.
We're tying to Mr. Ed.
On today's episode. I don't have a segue from Mr. Ed to this one. Okay.
I don't think there is one.
This is on the list of Daedra.
No,
but there's a
mount. Boom. Segue done. Go on.
Segue done. But there's a note next to it that says, debatable.
Yeah, okay. This one's highly debatable.
All right. So Dramothra. Dramathra. Dramothra.
Yes.
These are like spooky evil Khajiit.
That's a pretty good. That's a pretty solid way of kind of describing them.
Right. And they're associated with Nymira, right? Daedric, yep. Prince. The Dramothra sometimes capitalized as Dramothra, just different spelling with a capital D and not a lowercase d, meaning dark spirits of elsewhere are a very dangerous and seductive reflection of the Khajiit. They are Khajiiti individuals who became corrupted in life, resulting in their souls being claimed by Nymira. Upon death, these souls are ultimately lost to the Daedric Prince. So they start as mortals, but then they get corrupted into service of Nymira. So you can see why they don't really work like regular Daedra, because they aren't from the beginning of a different source or origin.
Right. It's more of a corruption, like a werewolf to Hyrcine, for example.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
exactly the same, because that's like a gift of a disease, but or a vampire, like that's not necessarily, like there's definite crossover.
Mm-hmm. And the effect has Daedric origin, but the individual isn't of Daedric origin.
Exactly. So it's like, I guess, you know, what do you people think? Like, do you think it's like I would not fully consider, like, I would not consider them a Daedra. I would kind of almost like tangentially related, but not. They're their own thing. Almost to the point that we were kind of alluding to with doppelgangers. Like, definitely I can see a parallel, but I would not consider them necessarily a Daedra.
Yeah, it's almost like if we had mortals, like unaffected mortals, and then you had Daedra, and then you have kind of this middle group that's like corrupted mortals, Daedric corruption. This would be in that middle group.
Daedra-fueled evil spirits, Outlander Frog put. That's good.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And especially with some of the weird blue flamey mist that comes off them, it even goes right along with the fuel thing.
So they actually look really cool. According to the wiki, it says Dromothera have fur that is completely black, crossed with lines of glowing blue lightning.
Yes.
Specifically lightning. Their eyes glow pale blue. They pour into Nirni from the dark behind the world, where they dance to the pounding of the Daedric heart of Lorkhan. That sounds like one heck of a party.
That's the thing that I find exceptionally cool. We're gonna do another like tie-in to the Elder Scrolls Online here. They're often referred to as like, actually, does it say that later on in the thing about the bent cat thing?
I don't remember reading that.
I don't see it. Okay. Yeah. So there's this thing where, like, when you look at them, there's like, you know how when you look at a shadow, it has like sharp angles sometimes and it's like bent? Uh-huh. So you have this like bent image, so it's like a bent version of the real thing. And the song that I still stand by is probably one of the best songs from the series, and it's oddly not on any of the albums, which is even weirder. It is a specific song called the Bent Cat Dance. And it is this, in relation to the, you know, the beating heart of Lorkhan, there is a trial, which is like a raid, which is the big group activity in Elder Scrolls Online, and it's called the Maw of Lorkhaj, which is another name for Lorkhan.
Yeah.
And it is it's in Reaper's March, and in this maw there's this corruption that's happening, and it is filled with Dromothera that you have to basically fight back the threat type of thing. And throughout that, there is this weird song playing in the background, and it is just this pounding of drums. It's one of those things where like you have these like really nostalgic things going through that, which back in the day, that was basically as hard as the game got, was trying to dig your way through this trial. And in the background, you would just hear these drums and you would hear these little chimes going off in the background. And when you got closer to bosses, it got louder. Mm-hmm. And because it's called the Bent Cat Dance, that's the thing. It supposedly mimics, from what I've understood, the pounding of the heart of Lorkhan in the background. And I've just always loved that connection, because that trial is so creepy when you actually look at the story to it. It's just like, these Dromothera are very, very weird. Also, if you beat it, you get to turn yourself into a Dromothera as a skin, which is still to date probably one of the best skins in the game.
Yeah, some people complain about the skins that look all weird and have like shiny bits and glowy spots and things like that.
I always thought that was like, as, because I'm not a big high fantasy person, I feel like that is top tier high fantasy. It is just weird and it looks awesome.
Yeah, some of them do look really cool. It's an MMO. Everybody wants to stand out.
Sure, everybody's on sparkle ponies, but
right, the shinier you get, and the more sparkle pony your mouth, the better.
The one that I recently bought, it's again a tie into this. I got a corrupted Dromothera cinch from Mount.
Yeah,
just because
yeah.
I had so many of those Endeavor things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think I've got the Guar version.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to put it in my house just to be funny, just because, you know, I feel really bad. And I jumped on it, and I was roaming around zone, and the amount of people asking where I got it, and they're like, what is that thing? Because I got it right when it launched. I was like, so let me tell you about the Dromothera. And I'm assuming they just turned their console off because they're like, this guy's an idiot and I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah. So
but yeah.
Yeah. Creepy Khajiit tied into the dark heart of Lorkhan.
Yeah.
And they could date all the way back to like the Dawn era because of the heart of Lorkhan and the corruption and all of that.
Yeah,
and
it's then, a long-standing corruption.
Yeah. And then the storyline continues in the second era during ESO. And then there's a whole thing about the whole plane plane meld and the moons being connected to this and the dark main. These are some of the story bits you play through in ESO. And we could do like two or three episodes.
The main in general and the dark main and all of that is very cool. The Khajiit are a very, very creative culture thing. And the Dramothra side thing that they have is a very interesting corrupted version of like, oh, you know, gotta live a virtuous life. Otherwise, you're going to stray down the path of this. And, you know, it definitely comes with some pretty strong benefits of power, but at the cost of essentially like, okay, well, cool, Namira owns you now, which does not sound like a great fate.
No, it's kind of cool that the Khajiit get this aspect of their of their lore, because
it's very unique compared to anybody else.
Right, because we've got the Mer races and their own individual weirdness based on whichever race you go with, you know, like we don't have to recap all of them, but every single Mer race has some sort of weird something that went on in their history and, and background. All of the Mannish races have their own kinds of weird stuff in history. The Argonians with the whole hist tree thing and being connected to histories, that's super weird. But in general, when you thought of Khajiit, it was like, well, they're the cat people. And we don't really know their origin, but now we've got more to go on. There's this whole side of them, this whole Dramothra potential for them to go dark and be like claimed by Namira. And like, that's really cool. Like it's more than just, oh, they, you know, they like Skooma and they, and sometimes they're sneaky and they steal things, you know, like,
I think it's a very cool aspect. And you know, some of the strengths they get, because again, throughout Elsewhere, which is another chapter in the Elder Scrolls where you actually, or Elder Scrolls Online, where you actually go to Elsewhere, there's a couple more points where you deal with that. Honestly, throughout the Elder Scrolls Online, there are a few situations where you're dealing with Dramothra, and they give you little expansions to like, it obviously comes with a price, like most Daedric dealings do in the series, but you definitely get some benefits before you have to get called in for your debt, so to speak.
Yeah. And some of them look like super powered up, like, you know, their power level hit 9,000 or whatever.
They're real jacked up.
And they're real jacked up, and they're real big boys with like wings, and they get real demonic looking.
Oh, yeah. They get, I assume that probably relates to like how corrupted are they? Mm-hmm. Kind of, it seems like it physically manifests through them with the lightning effects and with the, I don't know, growth, honestly, in a lot of the
they get real big.
It's just like
which makes sense why these might be considered Daedra. I mean, if you were just somebody walking around and one of these things showed up, you'd be like, oh my god, that's some sort of Daedra creature.
Sure.
Like they stop even really looking that much like Khajiit. They end up looking like monsters.
Well, and then when you think of a situation where you have a it's a rot version, R-A-H-T, you know, essentially rot as opposed to a cinch.
First stocks.
It's already, based on the different first stocks, the rot versions are already bigger than the other versions. So then you amp up the rot version and it's like, okay, well now it's like even more ridiculous. So that's just it. It's like some of these things, like they make reference. I mean, they're a little scaled down.
Have you seen a Dramothra Alfheek? I can't think of one.
No, I can't either.
But that would be super, super spooky and cute all at the same time.
Yeah, it'd just be like, I feel like it would just be like, I don't know, threatening to the same way a cat would be threatening that it really wants dinner. Like the, it's like screaming at you.
Yeah, I mean, Alfheek are powerful with magic, so
yeah,
I can imagine that.
They're actually like,
a dark, hyped up Alfheek would be kind of scary. Once you realize what it's capable of.
I was
going to
say, if they're already so magically inclined, it would be even more so, most likely. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, get him a saucer of milk and, you know.
Give him some catnip.
Give him some catnip. He'll be distracted. But at the same time, it's like, they never, as is, they already don't match what they kind of are capable of, hence why they're used in certain situations. It's like, just act like a house cat and then you can collect information and bring it back to us, because everybody's just going to be like, oh, good kitty. And then it's like, Okay, the kitty totally understood what you were saying, and it's like a spy.
Yeah, this kitty is a person. They just happen to be little. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Right.
So that's your Mothra. We could go in deeper with this, which we'll have to.
Those things are very, very cool. And if you do play Elder Scrolls Online, I know trials are much more of an undertaking, but you can always do it on normal. Even on normal, that place is a little rough for people. But definitely check out some of the Dramother stuff in Elder Scrolls Online if you do play, because they do a really good job of explaining a lot more of it storyline wise that we kind of alluded to without just blatantly spoiling all the stuff.
Yeah, so we need to put Dramothra on our list of potential future episodes to dig deeper into those and have their own
a full thing, full
episode.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Sure.
And then, you know what? You've been doing that series on the dungeons and the trials. It would be fun in the future to do individual episodes about each of those things. And then we can tell people if they want to see them, they go check out your videos. Right. But we can explain the whole storyline and all of that stuff. That would be fun to cover, too, in the future. So,
yeah, and actually, ironically enough, we're just starting back up on trying to get some of those covered, the ones we haven't gotten to yet. And a group of us were messing with the idea. It is much larger of an undertaking of doing the trials because the story to them is really interesting. But if people are just doing it to get a speed run, you're not going to be listening to the story to these. Organizing something to go through and have that be watchable is a much larger undertaking than just a dungeon, as we were kind of fiddling with the idea. And it was pretty involved for the footage we got of the one simple trial we tried to do. And Mothlorkash is not simple.
It's a lot more, a lot of people to wrangle and a lot more stuff to get through.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, we'll put those in our pocket for the future. And speaking of what you've been up to, anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, not really. We've got an episode of Tales hopefully recording this weekend, just getting things finalized with our guest Skinny Cheeks, hopefully, because he's an Elder Scrolls Online stream team member.
With a very small butt.
And a llama. he's really, really good at the number crunchy bits of Elder Scrolls Online and the combat specific stuff. So what with PC getting it actually the day before from recording, they just got the newest patch, which is the quality of life patch for anybody who plays Elder Scrolls Online. And there were some combat changes and stuff like that. So on Tales, we're planning on diving in and kind of discussing all of that for what you can expect that's changed, what seems good, what seems like it might need to be adjusted. And then because of Gamescom, they just said on the 14th of September, they're talking about the fourth quarter coming up is going to be the reveal for all the new stuff coming to Elder Scrolls Online in Q4, because that game makes a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man. They changed up the way they're doing every year's stuff, but it's time still passes. And then it's all of a sudden there's more
stuff
again.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fun. That's fun.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll be playing Starfield. We've got Starfield coming out in a week, and all of the preliminary news about it has been very positive. People are reviewing it already. Yeah,
people are breaking NDAs.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't understand that. Like, I have never seen so. There's always some people who are just like, nah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's hard. We've been NDA'd for different things before. Right. And it's like, but it's like, why would you think anyone will work with you again if you can't?
I know, right? And I didn't get a review key.
That was what you were saying.
Submitted. Like, here's my thought. My thought is that nobody can see the numbers on podcast downloads, so they don't realize we have thousands of downloads every day. But
As we know from those that we work with over at ZOS and stuff like that, they're always trying to collect that data because it's like, well,
they don't,
YouTube,
they can't
you can just
see
look at how many views are on there.
Yeah.
A Twitch stream. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we can just look it up. Podcasts, it's like, okay, you can see how many reviews we have.
Right.
We
and you can see where you show up if you search like Elder Scrolls or Starfield.
But that doesn't give you a gauge. Yeah, so it's like, it's a little harder. So it's a little more behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that I managed to find a way to get my hands on an Xbox. Shout out to my buddy Rick, who didn't need his anymore.
That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah. So he was like, you want to buy mine instead of paying full price? I was like, that sounds awesome. So great. I have a mostly new Xbox, and I am going to be jumping on Starfield myself when it comes out, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, we did another Starfield Lorecast today. We talked about the timeline. We had Bethesda released a timeline, but then we also got a Q&A today from Pete Hines about there's a new game plus in it, first time ever in a Bethesda game. Or at least one of these mainline Bethesda
games. Which makes me think there's got to be a lot of reasons to make different choices.
Yes, or to want to go through the quests again in a different way, maybe.
Right. Which I believe the other thing from Todd Howard was mentioned. It's the most RPG heavy since Oblivion, what I believe was the reference point.
Yeah.
Which I do know was a little confusing for people, but it's also because Fallout 4 was a little more like, they're all RPGs, but to varying degrees. And one of the big criticisms against Skyrim was some of the RPG aspects were scaled back in favor of action. Whereas Oblivion was the last one where I think it was a little more RPG first. Now, granted, less RPG heavy than Morrowind, for example. But at the same time, that was, I think, their last one that was more RPG as opposed to hybrid.
Right, right. Skyrim was much more of a hybrid than Oblivion. And then Fallout 4 was much more story first, role play, maybe a little bit on the side. And so this, so that's changing. I'm just super excited for this. And I hope people tune into the Starfield Lorecast because we're going to be talking about all sorts of different stuff. We also won't be spoiling any of the in-game lore that isn't talked about yet with any of the videos and announcements for at least a few weeks until after launch. So we're going to have different guests on the show talking about what we've been able to do in the game and our perspectives on things in order to not spoil things. But obviously it's a lore cast, so eventually we're going to be delving deep into the storylines and the different places and characters and all of that stuff. So we're going to get around to that stuff. It's going to be
even with this show, like, we don't just go to overtly spoil stuff. Like, we didn't go into every, hey, here's the story to the Mav Lorkaj trial, but it's like, okay, but we allude to it. You have to, otherwise there's nothing to talk about.
Right, right. And at some point we might, but usually that's at least within 6 months after the thing comes out.
Give people
right?
a chance.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So go check that out. Videos up on YouTube, on my Robots Radio YouTube channel. All the Starfield stuff's going to be there. I'm going to be doing videos on, like, character builds. Like, if you want to role play as, say, like Han Solo. So it's not going to be like min-max character builds, like how to get the most damage with these types of weapons. It's going to be like, what would Han Solo be in Starfield? Or what would
Sandwich Pirate.
What would Captain Picard be if you want to role play as Captain Picard or whatever? So I'm going to do some of those videos, so go check that stuff out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to be trying to stream more of Starfield. Like, this is going to be a focus. This is a big game. It's going to be huge. It's going to be a lot of fun. So it'll be a great time with the community and for you to be able to plug in with the stuff I'm doing. So definitely come back and check out that stuff. Twitch.tv/robotsradio and then robotsradio.net for links to everything. So go check that stuff out. And Lotus, this was super fun. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm feeling better. We're able to do this again.
Glad we're back.
Yeah. It's always fun to chat. And it's always fun to see all of you in the chat, in the Twitch chat.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for hanging out. And we will be back next week. So stay tuned for that with our patrons. So until then.
All right.
Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.